The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller, with you on this Thursday, 28 March 2013. And I got a call earlier today. We're going to have a report from, well, the United Nations Gun Treaty, directly from New York. I've got Mark Anderson from the program on RBN, When Worlds Collide. He's on at Saturday, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. And along with him, Jeffrey Smith, and he's the Northeast Director for American Free Press. Mark, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Jeffrey, are you there?
Loud and clear.
Okay, you're actually clearer than Mark, so adjust that over there, Mr. Producer, and we'll get on with this. United Nations Gun Treaty, have they decided anything yet, Mark Anderson?
Yeah, being here for American Free Press, they are trying to decide. They were an hour late. They were supposed to make the decision on the Arms Trade Treaty, the ATT, as they call it, at 3 p.m. Eastern. It got delayed till 4. There was such an overflow of people that they had to put some of us in another auxiliary room with headphones and a TV screen. But the amazing thing here is that Syria, Iran, and North Korea, just a triple header here, absolutely rebuked this treaty. In no uncertain terms, with Syria going so far as to specify Israel's injustices in Palestine, and in the Golan Heights, and in Lebanon.
And magically, Mark, you just mentioned the countries which we're ready to go to war with again.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think basically what they see this treaty as is stacking the deck for the top exporters, the U.S. being the world's top arms exporter, and that nations that aren't as maybe self-sufficient and need to beef up their defense, they would be importers. These large exporters that would call the shots under this treaty, and this treaty would solidify that position for the major exporters. So smaller nations or nations that feel they're more vulnerable or feel they're being singled out by the powers that be on the globe feel they're going to get shortchanged, and Syria, Iran, and North Korea were very outspoken, Syria being the most outspoken. And what's interesting is that unless they get a pretty strong consensus, this treaty is going to get its pants caught on a nail in a big way, and it's going to be, if not dead in the water, it's at least going to be seriously injured for a while.
Well, didn't the Senate just vote 53 to 46 to stop the U.S. from joining that UN arms trade treaty?
I didn't hear that specific vote.
Yes, they did. Yeah, but you see, all of this is a misnomer. Number one, I would observe those three countries. No one's saying they're good guys. But the beef that we have with them is basically all of those countries are not under the control of the New York and London banks.
That's the point. Right? Gentlemen, you probably can't hear it. I've got the bumper starting here. We've got about a 10-minute segment on the other side of this. Gentlemen, hang on. I've got Mark Anderson and Jeffrey Smith from New York reporting on the UN gun treaty. We'll be right back.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system and fire piston, or you just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today, toll-free at 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Visit CampingSurvival.com now and receive 5% off any purchase with the code FREEDOM. CampingSurvival.com.
If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself from anything out of balance concerning cardiovascular or diabetic circulation problems, then this might be the most important ad you'll ever hear. It is possible to acquire a 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation, which works. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. For a long and healthy life, order today by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Order online at heartandbody.com. That's heartandbody.com.
Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
All right, we are back. We're talking with Mark Anderson and Jeffrey Smith. Gentlemen, let me just interject this here. It was actually Senator James Inhofe out of Oklahoma that introduced an amendment that would prevent the United States from entering in that UN arms trade treaty, and that amendment passed 53-46. Now, you're going to make a comment about that, Jeffrey?
Yes. First of all, no patriot out here should take comfort in that.
Right.
Understand, first of all, people should read this treaty, especially Article 11 and Article 15, which absolutely allows foreign troops on our streets to do gun confiscation. And UN need to understand some two things. First of all, these characters on the upper that are generating all this nonsense on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, whether it's the NGOs, the major banks, the Anglophile crowd, whatever it is, understand clearly there's a mantra with these people, which I've listened to since I was a kid. They all believe that treaty law supersedes constitutional law. Okay? This is an article of faith with them, and a disturbing number of people in the State Department and in law schools and even in Congress basically believe this. Now, the thing is that the second thing is, large part, when they hold a conference like this, whether they build the bomb completely or only 80%, okay, the bomb is still out there and could be activated very easily. That's number one. Number two, they can take parts of the bomb and they can simply put it through under executive order. And that depends right now on how much noise patriots make. They don't have to cross every T. They don't have to dot every I. But everybody should be on their hind legs howling at what's happening over at the United Nations. Because make no mistake, this is an extremely, extremely dangerous thing, and every patriot is the target. All right? The second thing here. Number one, you have a situation here now where the major gun organizations have dropped the ball. You have major gun organizations that you can see what's happening. Someone has given the word for them to back off and not react to this thing, okay? There is a radical less involvement with the gun community, the Second Amendment community, as it was 2 years ago. There have been no news conferences held in swanky hotels. There has been no massive handout of literature. There has been no call to members to do something. Okay, the gun organizations, after absorbing millions and millions and millions of dollars from patriots and gun owners, have not put one person with one sign across from the United Nations during this whole mess. How is that? Explain that to me. The Brazilian Beef Association has demonstrations across the street. The Bulgarian beekeepers have demonstrations. Everyone has demonstrations when they think that they don't like something in the United Nations.
Right.
Why is there total silence now?
Well, with one of the largest gun supposedly advocacy groups in the country, the NRA, Wayne LaPierre, I would trust this man as far as I could pick him up and throw him. You and Mr. Anderson.
Well, there's something else, too. During our investigation, and once again, our article is running on the AmericanFreePress.net website. There's nothing like this on the web, this article. And the bottom line is, what we did in our investigation is, there is an organization that drives all the other anti-gun organizations, all right? And it's called IANSA. And guess what? It's based in London, and it's British government-funded. How in the blank does that happen? How is it that a foreign organization, a foreign NGO, is now modulating the attack on Americans' internal freedom? How did that happen? And gun organization after gun organization after gun organization either is silent about it or they downplay it. Okay? The Heritage Foundation has downplayed the importance of this. Okay? So I expect the American Bar Association to get on the web and say, oh, pish-tush, this is really nothing. It's really nothing. Now, if they're looking about exporting arms, what do you say about South Africa? And what do you say about Israel? Listen, manufacture of arms in Israel is the General Motors of Israel. The Israeli defense industries is a huge concern and a huge part of their economy. How is that going to be affected? Who's going to review their actions? No one's going to review their actions, and that's why governments like Syria and Iran are going up the wall and across the ceiling and down the other wall, because they know what's going to happen here. There's going to be one rule for them and one rule for certain other parties.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that if you read in there and it says, in this, all through the piece, it says non-state actors. What does that mean? That means people who are not governments. That means average gun owners inside this country. That they can collect arms, and they're also calling for universal worldwide gun registration. This is another thread that runs through this. It doesn't matter whether they get the whole thing now.
And let me interject here, Jeffrey. This is what the whole gun issue came down since, in this country, Dianne Feinstein's draconian, let's just call it a gun ban, was shot down, and Harry Reid actually pulled it. We're still on this mantra repeatedly in the mainstream media here in this country, and they're pushing for registration. Now, what they're not saying is the entire globe is doing the very same thing at the very same time.
Right. All of this is the Sandy Hook stuff. First of all, 80% of what happened to Sandy Hook has not been released. How is it that we're giving up our rights based on an event where you can't see large parts of it? Explain that to me.
Well,
leaving that aside,
yeah.
The thing, and let's say that all the events are as said, okay? Well, you know, let's say this, that certainly there was a tragedy. There's no getting around that. But the bottom line is that what you've got here is that All of this stuff is coordinated with this United Nations conference. It is either coordinated with, or at least time concomitant with this, in the most suspicious possible way. Look, the heart of American freedom.
Yeah, please go ahead, Mark.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I wanted to confirm and corroborate and amplify what Jeff was saying. I've talked to dozens of delegates here, mostly from NGOs, and bilateral defense agreements like what America sends Israel in terms of military hardware to attack the Palestinians and to carry out these atrocities that the IDF is legendary for are just not included in this treaty, and yet the treaty makes overtures to standing up for human rights, to protect men, women, and children from suffering and from you know, attacks with weapons. And so, nor are drones clearly covered, drones being the new kid on the block in high-tech warfare, and depleted uranium is not specifically mentioned. And I could get into lots of details that are really beyond the scope of this discussion, but suffice to say that some of the biggest concerns, and that's the way the Israeli forces have been hammering the Gazans and whatnot, and depleted uranium and weaponized drones are just not explicitly included, and delegates have confirmed to me that Israel's really beyond reproach. They don't necessarily like it. There's a lot of people privately that don't like what the IDF is doing. But in terms of this treaty, Israel's fully protected in the atrocities it's carrying out.
Well, and isn't it a fact that Israel is building a lot of these drones?
Right.
So, and this...
I believe so.
Yeah.
Certainly they'd get them from America. What they don't build themselves, although a lot of people said America probably won't trade drones a lot in terms of arms trades because it's sensitive technology, but it's proliferating. Hell, you're getting 3D printers out there to make components for all sorts of things. Yeah, so I think the answer to that is very likely so, yes.
Well, gentlemen, you're up there in New York just yesterday. The Times came out with a story, and they admitted that the CIA was running military hardware into the anti-Assad forces working inside of Syria. And we've already caught the MI6, Mossad, and the CIA in there trying to destabilize that government.
Yeah, let me address
that because they want absolute control of the Middle East.
Okay, hold on. Mark, you were going to say?
Yeah, just a quick, being the Syrian delegate, the main Syrian delegate was the most outspoken when Iran, Syria, and North Korea vociferously objected to this treaty right out of the starting gate. Here's an exact quote from the Syrian delegate. Our country is suffering because some countries are supplying terrorist groups with weapons, legal and illegal, to Syria. And he went on to indicate that what you said, John, that this is what looks like the government in Syria, shooting the people and terrorizing the people, is actually an insurrection against the Syrian government by these infiltrators and operatives and these intel people that you just mentioned. And in so many words, that's what the Syrian delegate was saying. And he was the most outspoken of those three, Iran, North Korea, and Syria. And still, 45 minutes later, since those three nations got done talking, this thing is still out of session. They knocked this thing off its momentum for almost an hour here as I speak. So
let me get your take on this, Mark. You were sitting there watching this in the ante room with a monitor and headphones. What was the reaction? I know the ambassadors to the United Nations are quite stoic and not given to emotional outburst or even body language, but what was the sense that when that ambassador from Syria was speaking on the UN floor, how was that being received?
Well, when Iran was first, and it was like, a slight reaction, and then North Korea was second, and then there was a little bit more of a when people go they make that kind of verbal response like that, and then when Syria was up there, it was like a triple header, like you could hear a lot of people go not like being scared, but like being like a lot of murmur, a lot of real sudden discussion, like wow, a very striking reaction to, like, here we got all three of them.
Okay, Mark, you can't hear it, but I've got a break. I'll be back in three.
time to relax and unwind. What better way to do so than with Santa Barbara Bells? For over 25 years, our wind chimes have been helping people to relax and enjoy life. Turn your home environment into a pleasurable experience. From the small overture chime to the large super bass, you will find just the right chime to enjoy. All wood, strings, and cordage are protected for long life, and all parts are rust-proof. You have 10 sizes to choose from. To see and hear more of the chimes, go to santabarbarabells.com or call us at 805-733-1513. Santa Barbara Bells is currently having a springtime sale. Come to the website and save up to 50% on all of our chimes. SantaBarbaraBells.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Were either your gentlemen, you gentlemen at the UN, were you able to talk to any ambassadors directly?
Mark? Here at the UN, the people who are meeting are our delegates for this specific conference, the Arms Trade Treaty, and they're not necessarily the top ambassadors or diplomats,
okay.
But they're, you know, invariably State Department personnel. There's a gentleman here for the U.S., whose last name, ironically, is Countryman, like in the honor of my countrymen, literally spelled like that. He's from the State Department, and so the answer is no. I mean, not the top ambassadors, but these are maybe mid-level State Department or the equivalent thereof from other countries that are here, you know, assigned to cover this for their home countries to hammer out this treaty. A lot of foreign countries have sent three or even four delegates. Iran has at least three people here, and a number of other nations. America appears to have two or three. Switzerland sent two or three, and that's pretty typical.
Well, in regards to Iran, they just lowered the bar on the excuse to attack Iran, they don't have to be building nuclear weapons, just the fact that they've got their plants and they're continuing to build nuclear plants. That seems to be the threshold that country's been lowered to for the excuse to attack them.
Well, that's very true.
It's limited to conventional arms. They say that nuclear, biological, chemical are handled under other conventions and other instruments. this is limited to conventional arms, but they specifically name small arms and light weapons, and then everything from combat vehicles and tank rounds to cannons and cannon rounds, both ground and airborne vehicles that can launch weapons. So you got small arms and light weapons all the way up to military hardware, but excluding nuclear, biological, chemical. And then, as I say, drones and depleted uranium are conspicuously not specified.
Right.
And then there's differences of opinion over whether they fall under more general headings. And real quick, the real quick facts are is that the UN authorities basically say that this treaty is to not allow what they call illicit end users to have weapons diverted to them, so the official states of the world, the nation states, can trade in both small arms and light weapons and military arms. But a lot of people see this, including Iran and Syria, as a way to monopolize things for the big players. So this is unfolding. There's a lot of information to sort out, just hundreds of position papers stacked all over the place here from NGOs and all that. But, you know, Jeff's bringing out the stuff that's kind of behind the scenes and outside the immediate confines of the UN, the weakness of the gun lobby or the fickleness of the gun lobby at best.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're trying to paint a very big picture here in a relatively small time on your show today.
No, well, I understand, but this is a great tease. Jeffrey, are you going to be joining Mark Anderson on his program When Worlds Collide this Saturday?
Yes, I will. And once again, I urge people to read the article that we have. The American Free Press exclusively has. We touch issues on this that no one else on the web is touching.
Okay.
And the thing is that, again, we've had a... You see, it's easy to see how many of these people are coming to this conference from what country. That's all very interesting academically.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, why is it that major patriotic organizations aren't here screaming their bloody heads off?
Yeah.
Why isn't there screaming demonstrations outside the United Nations? Why weren't people told to get in their cars? There are thousands of angry gun owners in the tri-state area within 50 miles that they could bring to New York, okay? Why don't they do that? Well, first of all, are these organizations are tax exempt? And secondly, if you mess with the United Nations, you know, the State Department gets upset. Their first action is to put their hand on the phone and call a U.S. attorney. You know, we know where that goes. Mm-hmm. A lot of organizations do. So, for whatever reason, they didn't show up. And that's the danger here. Because if these characters do not see reactivity, strong reactivity on the part of patriots around the country, then it's a green light for them to just go further and further and further.
Well,
as long as they can shoot missiles into middle America and totally politically and socially disrupt this country, they're confident that that nobody's going to shoot anything back at them ever.
Well, gentlemen, I've heard over the years from many people that we're willing to take any amount of grief and abuse of their God-given rights, that, in fact, what you mentioned is the ability within that treaty for the United Nations to be on the streets of America for gun confiscation.
Right.
Ironically, this is what Americans that were resistant to any other actions, they said that when that happens, all bets are off. When we see the blue beanies running around in our streets, we're going to send them back to their respective countries in a box.
But that's too late. That's the wrong attitude. The thing is to do, you need to stop cancer. When you first get cancer marker tests and the doctor says it's much elevated, you want to start pouring graviola in your mouth, not wait till you have a lump, a huge lump, and it's fourth stage cancer.
No, Jeffrey, this audience understands that. You were going to say, Mark, we have about a minute left.
Yeah, there's a lot of people are saying here that according to the specific language of the treaty, this only governs arms trade between nations, international trade, not the movement or sale of arms within nations, intranational trade. And on the surface, that seems true, but they always say that the treaty is a floor and not a ceiling, and then they add that there's these this language where they talk about disarmament, demobilization, and restoration. And I said, what's that about? And one of the NGO delegates says, that if arms are wrongly diverted to a given nation, you know, they ended up where they weren't supposed to go. And if there's an uprising or armed violence in that nation, and if the host nation wants UN troops to come in and put down the uprising, then they can disarm, demobilize, and restore. See, so it's it's like a backdoor approach. What they can't get up front, they put a back door in. In other words, the door is closed, but it's not locked.
Right.
So disarmament is always mentioned in kind of muted terms, but they've got these kind of nifty ways of leaving these doors ajar.
Right.
To where domestic disarmament can still happen, even though they can say on the surface that it's not about that.
Well, and for 50 years, I'm sure you gentlemen are familiar with State Department Document 7277, Complete and General Disarmament in a Peaceful World. That's been an ongoing blueprint that has never stopped for all of these years.
It's never been withdrawn, right. That's
exactly right.
Yeah, and I don't. One of the things about the UN, and I've got to cut you short soon, is that everything has to be in agreement with everything else. You know, everything has to be in agreement with the general principles of the UN. You can't have one document contradicting another, so it's probably safe to assume that everything has to harmonize with 7277. They can't have, you know, contradictory treaties going on at the same time.
All right. Well, gentlemen, Mark Anderson, When Worlds Collide, I would highly suggest the listeners of this network get up 7 o'clock. I know it's kind of early on a Saturday, but it's going to be well worth your time. 7 a.m. Eastern Time Saturday. And Jeffrey Smith, he's the Northeast Director for American Free Press. And you say that article is on AmericanFreePress.net right now?
www.AmericanFreePress.net. All you have to do is Google U.S. UN gun grab, UN gun control, UN gun confiscation, all right, and it'll come right up on the first page.
All right.
Okay? And as I say, there is nothing like it on the web, if I say so myself, because this is an extremely dangerous thing that they're doing. And I know they're not. They may not get the whole bomb this time, but they're getting 80%. And a lot of this can be put through simply by executive order if they think patriots are going to be too silent. That's the question. How much reactivity is going to come from the patriotic community? That's going to decide how far they go with this thing.
All right, Jeffrey. Right. Thank you, Mark Anderson. Thank you very much. We'll be looking forward to that show Saturday morning.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Jeffrey.
Thank you, sir.
All righty. Well, this has been going on for a long time, ladies and gentlemen. It is part of the globalist dream to disarm everybody. It was the first part of their dream to get everybody suckled onto the funny money system. And then after that, after you start gaining political control of the inner workings of all the different countries, irrespective of political ideology, it doesn't matter, because if you're the boys in the room with holding the money bags, well, you're the power play. You're the one that really matters. And all of this is falling in line. We've been talking about this for a number of years, and now it's showing up on your doorstep in God's bright light. Well, I guess we weren't really conspiracy theorists, were we? We were just way, way ahead of the curve. Appreciate that report very much. Got Paul Drockton on with me. Hello, Paul.
Hey, John. How are you today?
How'd you like that little report from the UN?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. They talk about inter-nation arms, but we have to go back to Fast and Furious when, wasn't it the ATF selling arms to drug gangs in Mexico?
Yeah, they were just giving a free pass just to trace and track the guns to see where they went. Where did they think they were going to go?
You know?
Yeah, and that was Eric Holder. Holder was left holding the bag on that one, but that was Hillary Clinton's little dream. That was to demonstrate that we've got to do something about these crazy arms inside this country. We need more control. More control. And that thing turned around and backfired on him. Hillary slithered out of Washington, D.C., retired as the Secretary of State, left other people holding the bag, and gee, I haven't heard a whole lot about her running for president in 2016. I think this Wicked Witch of the East, I guess you could call her, if she tries to run for president in this country in 2016, I think everybody's going to get out their matches and lighter fluid.
Man. Well, don't roll out them, I won't even go there.
I knew where you were going to go. Hey, look, the reason you're on the show today, I wanted to talk a little bit about, a little bit more about the Cypriot debacle over in Europe. But I first wanted to play you something just to set the tone on this. This is Mr. Dent, Harry Dent. He was on Fox Business Markets Now report on Fox Business News Channel. And it's, you have to listen closely. This is why I wanted you to hear it, Paul. What the man is saying, it's kind of lost in translation. You and I can hear it. This audience probably can. But I'm sure that the people that are tuning into these financial shows aren't really hear what the man is saying. But I wanted you to hear this.
Earlier this hour, Canaccord Genuity's Tony Dwyer was so bullish on the market, he has just raised his target on the S&P 500 by year-end to 1760. But our next guest has a much different perspective on where these markets are headed, down and way down. Harry Dent is Managing Director of HS Dent Advisors. Harry, good to see you. You wrote The Roaring 2000s, which came out in 99, right before the stock market collapsed. And then you wrote The Great Depression Ahead, which came out right before the markets bottomed. Harry, what sells better, boom or doom here?
Well, boom does a lot better for speeches, but books can do well either way. I mean, and we're not bullish or bearish. Obviously, I was very bullish in the 80s and 90s. And
Well, of course it does. Well, you know what? I had one standing by. So
earlier this hour.
Here's the second one. I knew it was going to do this.
He just raised his target on the S&P 500.
Sorry about the repeat.
But 1760. But our next guest has a much different perspective on where these markets are headed, down and way down. Harry Dent is Managing Director of HS Dent Advisors. Harry, good to see you. You wrote The Roaring 2000s, which came out in 99, right before the stock market collapsed. And then you wrote The Great Depression Ahead, which came out right before the markets bottomed. Harry, what sells better, boom or doom here?
Well, boom does a lot better for speeches, but books can do well either way. I mean, and we're not bullish or bearish. Obviously, I was very bullish in the 80s and 90s and in 2000s, and now the baby boom generation has peaked in the United States, and the Fed is fighting a very strong downtrend, and I call it the demographic cliff. This is going to continue to happen in country after country and region after region around the world.
Why would your baby boomers spending less, right? Why would that cause a market downturn unless they're selling their stocks to fund their spending?
Well, it's not they're buying or selling stocks that drives the stock market. The stock market correlates with earnings, and earnings is driven by consumer spending, which is 70% of GDP, and also drives business capital spending and government revenue. So it really is consumers that drive this, and people earn and spend more money from age 20 into 46. They kind of plateau into the early 50s, where we're at now with the baby boom, and then spending drops dramatically. People do not understand, unless you look at the numbers, how much spending drops off, especially for durable goods, housing, cars, and things like that that people borrow for. Debt gets paid down. So baby boomers, 92 million baby boomers, are not going to be spending in the next decade, and they're going to be dying from 2012 to 2040, the greatest
dying wave in history. Demographic trends, though, why wouldn't that trend here in the U.S., for example, be offset by a growing population in places like Asia, India, China?
Well, we only export about 10% of our GDP, so yes, it does help. I am less bearish than some people would be looking at my numbers because of the emerging world where the demographics are strong. But even China hits this cliff, starts to plateau 2015 to 25, and then drops off like Japan. Europe is in a plateau now in their kind of demographic wave, and it gets they drop off a steep cliff after 2014. So if Europe's in this much trouble now, imagine how much trouble they'll be in the future.
Well, if this much trouble is looming, then what do you do with your money?
Here comes the big dodge.
Well, you know, what happens in these periods, when a generation peaks, like in the 1930s was a slow period, and then the 1970s, every 40 years this happened, the market kind of goes sideways in an increasingly volatile manner. So buy and hold doesn't work so well, but you can't be out of the markets either, because you get strong rallies, especially with the Fed stimulating so hard. So we just say when things bubble up now, there's very strong resistance at 1600 on the S&P. That's my target for later this year. And then I think we're going to start heading down because that's the trend through the past two tops and bubble tops. So basically,
you're telling people to essentially trade which is so difficult.
No, no,
to
like,
do.
Yeah, like a long-term trader, like just every several years, when the markets bubble up, you get more defensive, you get into safer short-term bonds, and then when they crash, you got to have the guts to step back in because we'll see another crash and we'll see another strong stimulus program, and we'll continue this. The demographic trends in the U.S. with the echo boom don't turn up until the early 2020s. Okay. So the Fed's going to be fighting this downtrend for a long time.
If this strategy works, Harry, why didn't your ETF, your Dent ETF, do better? It's not around anymore, is it?
Yeah, we had a model that, you know, back tested great and all this sort of stuff. And then with this environment, with the Fed literally manipulating and pushing the markets, I mean, it's taking $2 trillion a year, $1 trillion in QE, $1 trillion in fiscal deficit, just to keep the economy growing at 2% or $300 billion. So the Fed is basically manipulating the markets. And most classic trading models and most indicators when stocks overbought or sold, they just don't work anymore. So yeah, we had to abandon that. It didn't do bad. It just didn't do as well as we wanted it to do.
Harry, thank you for being here. Good to see you. Harry did.
Sure.
Take care.
Now, what you didn't see, ladies and gentlemen, was the screen wipe that says that Harry Dent says that the market is going to crash.
Wow. Did you hear what he said about the Fed manipulation of the markets?
Yeah. Yeah. That it's taking $1 trillion in quantitative easing, and then we scarf up another $1 trillion, but that's only given us about a 2% growth.
Well, if you take a look at the other things he pointed out there, which I thought were, you know, this is like, this guy, if he gets invited back, I'd be shocked. Especially, this is on Fox, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, he ain't coming back.
Yeah. Well, and as I pointed out to my wife, I played this, I saw this on Fox Business, and I went up to their website just to see, out of curiosity, if they had it on their site. And lo and behold, there was the video, and I had my wife listen to this. And I looked at her, and I says, you know, you don't see the Gerald Salentes back on Fox Business News or the Peter Schiffs, because these were the guys that was predicting all of this coming in the first place. Mm-hmm. So rather than have these people come up on the air and go, all you'd have to do is sit there and smile like a Cheshire cat and say, I told you so. Now, but here is the insider. Now, you notice what he said, that, you know, when your bonds start to fall apart, like you're going to have a whole lot of time, when your bonds fall apart, you know, you've got to have the guts to stay strong and move back into the market. You know, this is what bigger players do, but the bigger players have money to lose. That's their gambling money. The average person is out of the market. So who are they talking to here?
Well, I think, you know, it's clear that most people don't realize who actually is buying and selling stocks. All they hear is investors. Well, most of them are institutional investors or banks. And, you know, if he would have enunciated a little bit more about the point he made about the Fed manipulating the markets, they do it through these institutional investors.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the order goes out to the banks. You know, we need to maintain the status quo on the stock market, and they do it. And so they'll go ahead and they'll keep giving them the money to invest in the S&P 500 to keep the market where it's at. I don't, you know, these people setting higher targets for the market, if you're basing that on federal stimulus, you have to look at what we're putting into it right now. We've got, he said, what, $2 trillion
yeah.
in federal stimulus right now?
Mm-hmm.
So if we talk about raising the S&P, gosh, another 100 or 50 or 100 points, then they're going to have to increase that to maybe $3.5 to $4 trillion worth of stimulus just to keep the markets up. And I just don't see it, John. I
don't either. But the funny thing about this was that, you know, he was saying that, well, things are going to drop off dramatically after the end of the year. And without repeating on air what the screen wipe was saying in his book, the stock market is going to crash.
Yeah.
You know.
It will, because yeah. it's liquidity issues, and the banks are viewing that as, that's kind of like the reserve fund.
Yeah, oh, yeah. What liquidity? Yeah. Well,
exactly.
Isn't that the problem with pigs? Isn't that the problem with Cyprus? Isn't that the problem in Europe? Isn't that the problem here? Is liquidity. There is none.
John, when I was in politics in Ohio, I went to a bunch of politicians. Kasich was one of the speakers there.
John Kasich?
Yep.
Yep.
He was one of the speakers, and he was the rising star of the Republican Party. He talked about how they were heading into, what do you call it, the serpent swallowing the elephant syndrome. And he talked about the things that were coming at America, you know, economically, how they had to address it with policy, et cetera. And, you know, I'm looking at Europe, and there's three things that are affecting the European economy and are affecting us. One is we went through in 2008, which was the mortgage meltdown, and which was based on all that subprime debt. But more importantly, the bets against that subprime debt is what took the markets down and tanked the system and resulted in literally $32 trillion in bailouts by the Federal Reserve. So that was the smallest kidney stone that's going to pass through the system. The next thing we got to look at is the sovereign debt crisis. And if we take a look at sovereign debt in Europe and we compare it to gross domestic product, globally there's about $50 trillion of sovereign debt out there. And to make the problem that much worse, there's probably about $1,000 to $1,500 trillion in bets against that debt. And the bets are what get us in trouble. The derivative bets are what these banks are trying to pay off. So when they went into Cyprus to confiscate all this money, it was simply to pay off these derivative bets. Against the previous 2008 crisis, they're still paying on that. Well, now we got the sovereign debt crisis that's hitting us because we've got countries I'm going to give you some examples right here. You've got countries like Greece with 140%, you know, gross national product to debt.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, and what this little ditty that they did with Cyprus, they're at about a debt ratio of 120% versus GDP.
Yeah, and Cyprus actually was probably number 10 on the list. Above Cyprus with sovereign debt issues, you've got France, you've got Germany, by the way, had more debt than Cyprus did.
Portugal, Spain, Italy.
Exactly. So if they went into Cyprus and did this, and Cyprus had the least amount of problems with sovereign debt. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's pick the least worst one, and let's see if we can hammer out some kind of deal on that. Well, and this whole thing, I mean, this wasn't a bailout, and there was no debt relief for the state of Cyprus. This is going to push the island's debt ratio, as I said, 120% versus their GDP, mm-hmm. with a high-risk economic death spiral a la, Greece. And these mm-hmm. capital controls has shattered the monetary unit of the EMU. The Cypriot euro is no longer a core euro. As a matter of fact, they said that the Europe is not going to be accepting any of the euros issued by Cyprus. And they've already warned people how to identify the bills. It's the one with a G in it. So now there's going to be a forced rollover of debt. Checks can't be cashed. I think you're limited right now. The bank has been closed for 2 weeks. They said that this problem, well, we're going to monitor this closely. This might go on for another 3 or 4 weeks, but we had to put some curbs in place. You're only allowed to take out at any given time $300 worth of euros, and I'm assuming that this is, I think I heard something to the effect that that's like $383 U.S. or the equivalent. Credit card use abroad, okay, this is not even if you're in Cyprus, but abroad, about 4,200 pounds or 5,000 euros a month. Now, the question popped up from Credit Suisse. They said this. They said, well, we wonder how such capital controls could eventually be lifted with no obvious cure for the underlying problem. So what they're saying here is this is going to do nothing for Cyprus whatsoever.
Yeah, of course not, because the European Union said to them that they've got to raise 80% of the money to get the other 20%, and so they're really using 80% of their money, of their own money, to pay the banksters off. And as you said, none of this benefits the people of Cyprus. And what I was trying to explain earlier is if you take a look at the three things that are going to pass through the world economic system, we talked about the smallest was the mortgage debt. The next biggest thing, this is probably the size of an orange, is going to be the sovereign debt. And the big sucker that's coming that dwarfs all this is the public debt and pension. The pension liabilities in Europe. And we take a look at Greece.
So what is that? A beach ball compared to your orange?
That's a beach ball. That's a beach ball. That's a beach ball or a boulder. I'm not sure which one.
Well, and something else happened here. The head of the Euro group over there, Jerome, and it's actually pronounced Dijsselbloem or Dijsselbloem. He came out the other day, and he confirmed that this is going to be the policy for the rest of Europe, that we're going to have to go in there, and we're going to start giving people and their accounts haircuts. And, of course, he was very quick to backtrack on that, but the word already got out. That went viral around the world. We got to take the break. We'll be back with Paul Drochten. I'm your host, John Stattmiller. We'll continue this right after this short break.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Micro plant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, micro plant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Soon you will be dancing face to face with the limits of ambition and the scars of the marketplace. Welcome to the land of flame and fizz, where you will learn that packaging is all that
it is. Yeah, it's packaging and that's all that it ever is. You know, Paul, you know what really grabs me about this, and we talked about this earlier, is that all of this market volatility, the government's actually going in and stealing people's deposits right out of their personal accounts, and we're sitting here and we're watching the gold and silver market and it barely burps. And that tells me how hard they're still stepping on the gold and silver market.
It's massive, John. It's massive. And, you know, they put out a... this is the U.S. government report. They put out a... it's called the... Give me a second here. Bank Participation Report in the Futures Market. And this is put out by the U.S. government. So this isn't me making this stuff up. So if we go to... there's two markets. One is the futures market, and the other is the options market. Options are basically options against futures contracts. Both the options and the futures market affect spot price, which is the price that is reported as the price of silver and gold. So when you take a look at the manipulation, we look at what the banks are doing, and we see that the banks, not only in the United States, but outside the United States, are taking out short contracts in the futures market and put options against the silver and against gold. So, yes, and the sad thing about it is, to me, I don't understand how a foreign entity can come in and buy futures contracts or option contracts in our market. It doesn't make sense. It's like me going over to Russia and shorting their gold and silver market so I can buy everything at a discount.
You know, I mean, somebody over in Cyprus was talking to a reporter, and they said that they had about 400,000 euros in a trading account of his father's at, I guess, a bank called Lackey. Great name for it. And it had just been frozen, leaving him unable to pay an Egyptian firm for a consignment of shoes. So, but it gets worse than that. There's no going back to this old model. Savers above 100,000 euros at Lackey will lose 80% of their money if they get anything back. And those at the Bank of Cyprus will lose 40%. So we're not talking about a little haircut. We're talking about the proverbial sword of Damocles cutting off their wee little heads.
Yeah, and they're talking about closing down the second largest bank. And basically... one of the ministers came out and said, we don't know when they're going to get the money back. We're not going to put a time limit on this thing.
Well, and that's why all the vinyl sucked up off the office chairs around the world when this Dijsselbloem said, well, this is the model for European Union in general in the banking system. I mean, that...
wealth confiscation.
You might as well come out and said, it ain't yours no more, we're taking it. Man, oh man. I am just amazed by this. I was watching the markets the last couple of days, the gold and silver markets, and this morning it opened up a couple bucks down. Silver took a little bit of hit yesterday. I don't know what it did today, but it ain't moving. And I'm thinking to myself, yep, they're holding down the prices. There's mad scrambles globally. The banks are still buying up all the gold that they can. And when the foo-foo hits the fan, that's going to be less gold on the markets for people that have finally woken up out of their, I don't know, Rip Van Winkle 100-year sleep. Oh, my God, I better get some gold. Well, yeah, at what price? Because at that point in time, I looked for the old model of supply and demand to come in. And lesser supply, more money, yeah, it's going to cost you more to get into it. We're going into the second hour here. Mr. Drockton's going to maintain shotgun status. We'll take the top of the hour break, and we'll be right back.